Blog Talk Radio.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Yo, Yah come in the volume of the book. His word is light, so we got the killers shook. Wisdom was in the chief places from the beginning to enlighten the sons of men. But the fighting among twins ushered in sin, and brothers been beefing ever since. Yah come in the volume of the book by the truth and sell it not. So we got these robbers out here shook. Understanding is departing from evil. He flooded the earth once, and there'll be no sequel but the fire next time. That's why I'm the messenger refining the fire of affliction, opening your eyes to the foolish ways and the devil's contradictions. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim.
I praise John summer and winter season, and dismiss the statues withheld by these heathens. Y'all give me the reason to call them out, only misleading and treasons. A man's heart that was given to these beastless, no, we're not even back to seeking the heart of Yah. Seven is what he requires for the draw silver to be polished by fire. Constantly led by my Elohim, who visits messages through visions over dreams. Slaves that were formerly a king will one day rise and seek the purpose of their being. The feeling is serene. The Israel is the prince who has power over Elohim and man. And no longer do we advance to realize the reaching of the stars upon the shoulder of a promotion coming by Yah. Who can take it thus far? Yisrael died, Yasalat to the Almighty Yah.
Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim. Let the judgment run down like the waters, and the righteousness flow as the streams. Let Yahweh's name be exalted in the high praises of my Elohim.
Singing to Allah, to Maya, to Maya.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel, savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words. Today I will be following up on a subject matter that I brought to many of our people on the Sabbath day, but I was not able to bring it in its entirety. So I will bring, and that is about the one headship. It is true, it's only going to be one head. And Yahweh identified this one head. And what many of our people don't realize that they, in particular the leaders of our people, every head of the congregations today, whether it's you call it a temple, Knesset, Hebrew class, Bible class, whatever you might call your particular place of worship, you should be leading the various people of the Most High with one mind. And that is, that mind is that Israel will come together in one leadership, one head, that will rule his government. And so even though you might be leading in your congregation, is only temporary until we come to this one headship. And Yahweh identified that who that is. And even though we have worked, or many have worked very hard to fulfill prophecy by gathering our people together, as well as other things in our prospective communities, nationally, internationally, at the end of the day, there will be only one that Yahweh will unite his people under. And this really should have been one of the main topics of discussion for the last days. Not only who this one is, but how will this take place? Find that many of our people are still divided on this issue. Even though the Creator named him himself, that's how you know that either you understand the truth or you don't. And not only who the one headship is, who our people will rally to, but because our people really, the one thing that's keeping them divided from one another, today is the egotistical pride that exists among the leaders that won't allow them together, unite together without identifying one head, because one head has already been identified. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we get into that, one of the things I do want you to see and undertake and know that the Creator had already prophesied the way of the Most High, that indeed he will visit his people. In the book of Genesis 50, I just want you to see a couple of scriptures on this. No matter what captivity we found ourselves in, no matter what land we found ourselves in, Yahweh never always remembered his people, and this memory was always available to the Most High through his servant. For example, in the book of Genesis 50, I want you to see this. And I'm going to read the 24th verse. We're going to start there. And this is what it says. And Yosef said to his brothers, I die, and Elohim will surely visit you. And we need to be familiar how Yahweh will visit people. And we're going to go over that. But he said, Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Yosef took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, repeated himself, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Yosef died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And this was fulfilled. Yahweh did visit the children of Israel in Egypt. And who did he visit them through? His servant. And let us read this. In the book of Exodus 13, and I'm going to read the 19th verse. And watch what it says. And the angel of Elohim went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place. Exodus 13. Sorry if I confused you. In 19. And Moses took the bones of Yosef with him, for he has straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from here with you. And Yahweh did visit the children of Israel, just like Yosef had prophesied he would do. But Yahweh also said he will visit our people. You'll also find that, and when I say our people, I'm talking about today. You'll find this in the book of Zephaniah. Let us turn there. Moses was the instrument that Yahweh would use to visit our people in the past. But who would Yahweh use to visit our people today in the nearest? And we're going to read and that verse is in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. And I'm going to start at the fourth verse. And this is what it says. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday. Ekron shall be rooted up to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Keratites. And you want to take a little bit of time and look up who this nation is, the nation of the Keratites, as well as these other nations, and watch what it says. The word of Yahweh is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will even destroy you, that there shall be no inhabitant, and the sea coast shall be dwellings, and the cottages for shepherds, and coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Yehuda. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for Yahweh, their Elohim, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. And so Yahweh once again let our people know that he will indeed visit them. And when Yahweh visit our people, it's generally and typically through his servant. And there's only one servant in the scriptures that Yahweh, because he didn't want anybody to be mistaken in any kind of way who that servant will be. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Genesis 49. And the reason why this is important, because there's a little documentary, real good documentary you want to get knowledge on. It's called The Eye of the Prize. And oftentimes, lose the prize because they have taken their eye off the prize. The eye should be on the prize. And what is the prize? Being part of the remnant. What is the prize? Being redeemed. What is the prize? The land of your captivity to a land flowing with milk and honey. That should be the prize. But you will take your eye off the prize by allowing yourself to be caught up in other things that will derail you. And you have to ask yourself, are those things more important than the prize itself? Said in the book of Genesis 49. And I'm going to read, starting at the 8th verse. Yehuda, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Children shall bow down before you. Yehuda is a lion's cub from the prey. My son, you are going up. He stooped down. He counts as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And watch what it says. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So it's already prophesied the gathering of the people will be to whom this individual is in Yehuda. And we know who that is, even though many people reject who this one head is. But I want you to see, although you might reject it, Yahweh don't reject it. Really, you must ask yourself if truly we are in, if it is true that we are in the 400th year of our captivity. Of course, many leaders will tell you they don't know. So if they don't know, they just be quiet, because you don't know anyway. And then there's many leaders who say, well, yes, this is the 400th year. Well, if that is true, then should not one be in the earth somewhere? Should not this one be in a position to be revealed in the very near future. And I'm saying revealed to the masses, because people might know who this is already. But nevertheless, for the masses of the people, should not his presence be upon us in the very near future? Since we are in the last days, since 400-year prophecy is upon us, and a lot of people are scared to talk about the 400-year prophecy because they are unsure. They would rather say, well, we don't know when Yahweh started his count, and we don't know when he end his count, and we don't know this, and we don't know that. And you just don't know. That's all. You just don't know. Just say, I don't know. So I can understand why you're not talking about this one head. As Yahweh do. Watch what the Creator say about this one head in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. And I teach people and tell people that while we looking at the world, many in the world is looking at us. We the only people that was prophesied to be a light to the world. We the only people that the scriptures talk about raising up the tribes of Israel, preserving, or the tribes of Jacob, and preserving Israel. Nobody else is prophesied to do such a thing. We are prophesied to do such a thing. So while you looking out at Russia and China and other people, you got many people that's looking at you to see what you are doing to determine where we're at concerning prophecy. And, of course, you're not looking at yourself because you rather say you just don't know. And that's okay if you don't know. In the book of Hosea, the third chapter, watch what it says in the fourth verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. And we don't have a king today that anybody can point to or know of. Without a prince, image, without an ephod, and without a terebinth. Afterwards, shall the children of Israel return and seek Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, and shall fear Yahweh in his goodness in the latter days. In the latter days are the last days. The last days are what? The latter days are what? Their captivity. And where should Israel return? They're going to return unto the one and only Elohim. And how will they return? By seeking him and by seeking their king. Furthermore, this one head. So everybody so-called senior Moray position or Kohen position or high priest position or prince position, these are all temporary until the real McCoy reveal himself. That's why you never get caught up in the temporary. You get caught up in, it says in Hosea, that we to seek Yahweh our Elohim, we shall return and seek him, and David our king. And during the time of Hosea, who prophesied this a long time ago, David was dead. He wasn't alive at this time. This was a prophecy of the future that's supposed to happen in the last days of the last captivity that our people will undertake. Furthermore, you'll find this, since Yahweh said he will visit us, in the book of Ezekiel. And watch what the prophet Ezekiel has to say about this one head. Every prophet didn't talk about this, but many did. And this is the second prophet that would talk about this one headship, dealing with just sheer wisdom. They would know all their positions are temporary anyway. They just leaders to a certain point. And they should have been guiding the people. It says in the book of Ezekiel 34. And I know there's many other subject matters that have to be discussed, should have been discussed, have been discussed, but it was only until you get the one head, and either you listen to him or you don't. Because this one head is not going to debate whether he's right and you're wrong, or you're right and he's wrong. He already going to know how to judge and what's right and wrong. In the book of Ezekiel 34, and watch what it says. And we're going to read the 21st verse. This is the 20th verse. Therefore, thus says Yahweh to them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, push all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And see, this is where the leaders should have had their attention, and that is the flock. Their attention should have squarely been on the flock of Yahweh to save every soul imaginable. But many leaders have cut themselves off from the flock. And the only flock that they was interested in trying to save is the flock that will just listen to them, just like a dog listens to his master and no other. This is how the leaders have treated their flock, the way you treat sheep at all, flock at all, cattle at all. These are just humble beasts that you gather all the flock together and you keep them together. Watch what it says. 22nd verse. And they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Only going to be the shepherd, but he also will be a prince among them. Which lets you know that in order for him to be a prince, in order for him to be a shepherd, this is no stranger that's just going to come in and just begin to assert his authority over everybody, how Yahweh works. See, when Moses was raised up, even though he was raised up in the Egyptian house, Moses still maintained his relationship with his people. A great love and affection for his people, and great humility. Even though when he went back to them, he said, why are they going to listen to me? But not one time did Moses question whether they would know him and recognize him. We know they recognized him and they knew him because he had a brother and a sister amongst them. And so Yahweh is not about to take some orphan or stranger, foreigner, or anybody else, bring them to his people to rescue them or to deliver them. No, this was a man amongst the people. But Moses' destiny was hidden from the eyes of the people. Hebrew name was Hadassah. Destiny was hidden until she became queen. Just like yourself, destiny was hidden. But all the brothers knew him. Until the eyes was opened and he claimed his rightful position. And he was over Egypt. He was over his brother. He was even over his father. Because this is what Yahweh do. And so all these various congregations around the United States and the world, the leaders, the heads, these are just temporary until Yahweh see fit to bring about the one headship. And there's a lot of scriptures that will show you when the time is at hand. Let me show you a couple more scriptures so that you can see what I'm telling you is the truth. Another scripture you want to read, since we're in the book of Ezekiel 37. And watch what it says. See, the number one thing that prevent our people from coming together as a whole is leadership, is the one headship. Who will we rally around? Who will we follow? Who will command us in the name of Yahweh? This has been the past. It says in the book of Ezekiel 37. And today, we're just caught up in all the wrong things. Watch what it says. 21st verse. Well, we'll start at 20. Whereon you write shall be in your hand before their eyes, and say unto them again, we read Hosea's prophecy. Now we're reading the prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel as another witness to what we're telling you is the truth. And say unto them, says Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, wherever they have gone, and will gather them on every side, bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling ground they have seen, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. And we read that. They shall also walk in my judgments, observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. So here Yahweh is making it crystal clear who will rule and who this one leader, one head, shall be. And let me show you a third prophecy, a third prophet that will detail who this is also. And you'll find this in the book of Isaiah. Then we'll get into the time of the revelation of who this is. When will this begin to start revealing itself? In the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, and watch what it says. We read Hosea. We read Ezekiel. Now we are reading the book of Isaiah. And this is what it says. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters. And he that has no money, come you buy, eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? In your labor for that which satisfies not. Listen diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, your soul, and let your soul delight in fatness. And watch what it says. Incline your ear. Soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And why the sure mercies of David? It is going to tell you why. Behold, I have given him, who is him? David, for a witness to the people. And what is a witness? A witness is someone that is proclaiming, that will proclaim what we have been telling you from the beginning. And that is, we are the people of the Most High. We are his servants. And that his kingdom will rule over all. Watch what it says. I've given him for a witness to the people. What other witness is he? He's a witness that what Yahweh said is true. Because Yahweh is the only one that prophesied that he will visit us, and that he will send someone in the last days that not only will be king, prince, shepherd, And as we give her a witness to the people, a leader, and a commander to the people. And right now, we have just shown you three prophets that prophesied him being a king, a prince, a witness, a leader, a commander, and a shepherd. Six different things that he would do, he would be. Out of the mouth of three different prophets. And let me not forget Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Let us turn there. And rather than reading Isaiah 9, let's read Isaiah 11. We can read 9, though, too. But let's go to the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, there's one head. This is what it says. The very first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. And this, when this spirit rests upon him, that's everything will open up. This is when he will know and understand things and have the knowledge and the wisdom, the understanding, the might to lead, to rule, to command, to judge, and everything else. But all these things have to come upon him. And all it takes is one day for this to occur. Once the Spirit come upon him, from that day forth, he will become another man. He will become a new man. He will become whom we know. Watch what it says. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. This is what he will do. But watch this. We're going to jump down. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. And we just read about the stem of Jesse. And who is Jesse? David's father. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. In other words, this is that witness. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam and from Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth. This is what Yahweh would do. Once this ensign is set up, Yahweh will bring about everything that we bring into you today. The prophet Isaiah knew it. The prophet Ezekiel knew it. The prophet Hosea knew it. And Yahweh told us, according to his law, all we need is two or three witnesses. But I'm going to give you a fourth witness, even though really you got five, because even Moses knew it. And we read the book of Genesis 49, what Moses said. So really, this is the fifth witness, the fifth prophet that will let you know who this one head is, who the gathering of the people will be. But why is this so important today? Well, it's important today. We the ones are about we in the last days. We're the ones talking about we're in the 400 year. The world is talking about the 400 year slavery of our people. That's what the world is talking about. I know many Israelites don't believe it. Many Israelites will tell you that the 400 years been up. I don't know how they been up when America was founded in 1807, which is only approximately 13 years, 12 years before our people became slaves. Yeah, to America, they were founded in 1607. Our people, according to history, came in 1619. So I don't know how our people been here, and people tell you 500 years and all kind of other stuff. Prior to America, even though they're not the inhabitants or the original inhabitants of this land, native people of this land didn't bring a bunch of people here as slaves by ships. That's not their history. There was no Indian tribes bringing people here by the boatloads, by slaves. The only people that brought people here by slaves is Europeans. And they were founded in 1607 in this country, coming out of Europe. So all this talk about we 500 years and there's no history, biblically or historically, that even match up with that in no kind of way. But let us continue. The fifth prophet in the book of Jeremiah. Now watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to read Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. And this is what it says. The very first verse. Again, talking about this one head. The first verse, woe be unto the pastor that destroyed and scattered the sheep of my pasture, says Yahweh. Because Yahweh is against these leaders, these ministers, pastors, morays, and whatever title they hold. If they're not bringing his people, his flock together, then the only other thing they can be doing is scattering the sheep. And Yahweh is against those who will destroy and scatter his sheep. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You scatter my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And watch what Yahweh says. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says Yahweh. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise David, unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And watch what it says in the sixth verse. In his days, who days? The one that's king, the one that will reign and prosper, the one that will be the righteous branch, the one that will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved. In other words, in order for Yehuda to be saved, it's got to be in his days. And if it's in his days, then he has to be on the scene. How is Yehuda going to be saved? The one who days is supposed to be in, we don't even know his days. We don't know if he exists. We don't know if he's present. We don't know where he's at. He don't know his name. No, it's in his days. So we will have to know to verify what we're reading is true. And not only in his days Yehuda shall be saved, Israel shall dwell faithfully. Is his name, where shall he be called? Siddiq Yanu, which just means Yahweh or righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they shall no more say Yahweh live, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, from all the countries where I've driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And this is what a shepherd will do. And Yahweh said he's against all the shepherds anyway. And so he will set up one shepherd that will gather his flock to take them home. This is what Yahweh said. We've seen what Moses prophesied in Genesis 49. We've seen what Hosea prophesied in Hosea the third chapter. We've seen what Ezekiel prophesied. Seen what Isaiah prophesied in the 11th chapter, and we could have read the 9th chapter. And when you got time, read that. And then we just read what Jeremiah will prophesy, has prophesied in the 23rd chapter. 5 different prophets. And we've already read where Yahweh said he will visit our people. And I told you, you have to keep your eye on the prize. Here today, we've allowed ourselves to get caught up doing other things, worried about other things, when the prize is deliverance. The prize is being part of the remnant. The prize is going home. The prize is going to a place in honey. That's the prize. And you don't want to miss that boat. And you will miss that boat. Many will, because Yahweh says only a remnant will be saved. Only a remnant. And what are you doing to separate yourself from the other flock, from the other people? What's so bright about you, so good about you, so special about you, that you will be a part of this remnant? Maybe a lot of special things. But you will never realize if you don't, if you lose sight of the prize. And you might ask yourself, though, when, but in the last days, but that's too vague. What is it, Moray Ishaya, that we can look for, that we can see? What is the sign to let you know that a shepherd, a commander, a leader, a prince, a king, people not together, the world is changing? And our people are in trouble. Well, let me show you a couple things, how this thing will unfold for your kingdom, for your one head. The first scripture I want you to see is in the book of Jeremiah 30. In the book of Jeremiah 30, watch what this says. I want you to, these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel, concerning Yehuda. But thus says Yahweh, we've heard a voice of trembling and fear, not of peace. Ask you now and see whether a man does labor with child. Why do I see every man with his loins on, hands on his loins, as a woman in labor, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And Yahweh goes to explain how Yaakov will be saved out of his trouble. Watch what it says. For it shall come to pass in that day. In other words, what day? The great trouble that our people will be under. That I will break his yoke from off your neck. Will burst your bonds. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. In other words, Yahweh has already selected whom he will raise unto them. And when will Yahweh raise him up? Their king, their one head, time of trouble. A trouble that they had never seen. A trouble that surely they would need to be saved out of. Signs that you will see from this trouble. Let me show you a couple signs. One particular sign is in the book of Jeremiah 51. Watch what it says, since we're in Jeremiah. And watch what it says. In the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter, the 8th verse. Well, let's start at the 6th verse. I want you to see this. Watch what it says. Well, let's start at the 5th verse. It says, for Israel has not been forsaken, even though many think they have been. Yehuda of his Elohim, of Yahweh of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Watch what it says. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. And it's not talking about Israel, even though many Israelites would teach that this is talking about Israel, but it's not. This is talking about the other nations. Watch what it says. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in their iniquity, for this is the time of Yahweh's vengeance. You render to her a recompense. Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain. If so, be she may be healed. She would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go everyone into his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. And little do people know what will happen to modern Babylon, the daughter of Babylon. Her judgment will reach the skies. And when you begin to see all the various so-called minority nations in America and around the world, they will begin to flee out of this thing, not to be caught up in her iniquity. Because Yahweh made it crystal clear that the people that held us captive will be judged. Furthermore, in the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter, watch what it says. And you will see in America people fleeing out of here. Watch what it says. Jeremiah 50, the 16th verse. Thor from Babylon, and him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest, for the fear of the oppressing sword. They shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land. That's what happens. Watch what it says in the 17th verse. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria has devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon has broken his bones. And this was the very first Babylon. And see, this is the thing that people don't understand about Babylon. Babylon is no descendant of a king. There's no such person whose name is Babylon. No. Babylon is the name of a condition. It's the name of a situation. It's the name of nations that has come together, and now the languages are confused. And there is no place that's more confused in language, ideals, thought than America. In the book of this same Jeremiah 50, watch what it says in the 7th or the 6th through the 8th verse. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. And I told you, Yahweh is only setting up one shepherd. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against Yahweh. So they have no interest in reforming the police. They have no interest in mending the Constitution. They have no interest of healing and vaccinating you from some virus. They have no interest in helping you at all. No, they're not listening to your cries. They don't care about your pleadings, because they already believe we offend not. For they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even Yahweh, the hope of their fathers. In other words, y'all talking about no justice, no peace. And we hid the habitation of justice, and we didn't do the right thing. Watch what it says. All that found them have devoured them. No matter what land we found ourselves in, we were devoured. Their adversaries said, we offend not. And going right to the A verse, remove out of the midst of Babylon. And that's not talking about Israel. That's talking about all the other foreigners, inhabitants of Babylon. Watch what it says. Remove out of the midst of Babylon. Go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From there she shall be taken. Their arrow shall be as a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. This is what Yahweh would do. And let me show you one more scripture in the book of Isaiah 13. Because I just want you to see the time in which, and that time is upon us, when you begin to see the one head raise himself up, or Yahweh will raise him up to do what he was meant to do, and that is to deliver, to command, to be a witness, a leader, king, prince, shepherd. All these things must take place. And when will this happen? When these very spirits come upon him and rest upon him, that will give him the ability to be mighty, the ability to show forth his wisdom, the ability to judge the whole entire earth. Watch what it says in the book of Isaiah 13. And look what it says. The 11th verse. I will punish the world for their evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And did not Yahweh say, gather yourselves together? Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desire. Watch what it says. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as a sheep that no man takes up, They shall every man turn to his own people and flee, every one into his own land. This is what will happen. You will see. And Yahweh only has one head. And if we know that, if we teach that, if we believe that, problem, Israel, we only got one head anyway. So what's all the fuss about? You just come together seeking the one Elohim and the one head that Yahweh himself said he would choose. How hard is that to do? How difficult is this proposition? It's not difficult at all if this is something that you desire. Because Yahweh will indeed visit his people. Yahweh will indeed. When will Yahweh visit his people? Yahweh is not going to visit his people before the trouble. In other words, the trouble is here, even though most people don't even recognize, notice, and acknowledge the trouble. The trouble is here, but it will come a time where this trouble will be greatly understood. And when it is understood, and when all will acknowledge, then you will know, then you will see, then the things that we're telling you, you will know that is the truth. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.
Live free. Come on. Fourth tribe.
400 centuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Not what prices on our backs, and the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation, just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with a government seal. Probably tried to stand up with deal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us some fake news and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me. I'm just horror slavery. 400 centuries. Nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free.
400 centuries of this horrid slavery. But Yah, he is the king, and he will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby, paw, baby, dog. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way, just spend my Yah all day. Rest in him, just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then I'm stuck in my zone. Staying focused on the day when he finally takes us home. Till then I'm prophesying to the dry bones. Till that day that I'm gone and Yah reveal what he has shown. That Yahweh is Elohim, is him, and none alone.
Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me of this horrid slavery.
for harness history. Nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. Live free. Yeah.
Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left for me of this horrid slavery. For hundred centuries left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my yard and live free. All I want to be is with my yard and live free.